Canto 1, Chapter 7. The son of Drona punished. Sri Shaunaka said, after the departure of Narada Muni, what did the great lordship Vyasadeva do, having heard from the great sage what he wanted to know? Sutta replied, on the western bank of the Sarasvati, where sages meditate, there is at Shamyaprasa an ashrama for the promotion of transcendental activities. There, Vyasadeva sat down in his hermitage, surrounded by berry trees, to focus his mind after he had performed his water sacrifice. With his mind connected in the devotion of yoga, he saw, free from material concerns, perfectly being fixed, the complete of both the original person, the Purusha, and the external energy that depends on him. The living entities, bewildered because of the conditioning of their bodies by the qualities of nature, take, despite their transcendental position, things not wanted for granted, and undergo the reactions thereof. For the common man, who does not know that in the yoga of devotion unto him in the beyond, all that is unwanted finds its end, the sage, in this book, compiled the different stories relating to the absolute truth. Simply listening to this literature about the Supreme Personality of Krishna will give rise to one's personal devotion that takes away lamentation, illusion and fear. After having arranged that collection of stories about the Supreme Lord, the sage started to his son Shuka, engaged on the path of self-realization. Shaunaka asked, why would he, always on the path of self-realization, being contented within and indifferent about other matters, engage in such a vast study? Sutta said, such are his wonderful qualities that even sages, freed from all bondage and taking pleasure in the soul, are of pure devotional service unto Vishnu, Urukrama, the Lord of the Great Steps. The powerful son of Vyasa is beloved by the devotees because he, in having taken up the regular study of this great narration, was always absorbed in the transcendental quality of the Supreme Lord. I shall now tell you the story about the birth, activities and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage among the kings, as also the story about how the sons of Pandu came to renounce the world. These stories lead to the stories about Lord Krishna. When, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the warriors of the Pandavas and the Kauravas had found their heroic fate, and the son of King Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, was lamenting his broken thigh bones due to being beaten by the club of Bhima, the son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, thought that he could please his master Duryodhana by delivering the heads of the sleeping sons of Drupadi as a trophy. But the master disapproved his heinous act. The mother of the children of the Pandavas cried aggrieved, bitter tears when she heard about the massacre. Arjuna, who headed the Pandavas, tried to pacify her and said, I can only wipe the tears from your eyes, my dearest, when the head of that degraded Brahmin aggressor is severed by the arrows of my bow Gandiva. I will present it to you so that you can place your foot on it, taking a bath after the cremation of your sons. Satisfying her with this choice of words, Arjuna, with the infallible one as his driver and friend, fully armed and equipped, ascended his chariot to pursue Ashwatthama, the son of his martial teacher. When he from a distance saw him in hot pursuit, the child murderer, fearing for his life, fled with his chariot in great speed, just like Brahma and also Surya did when he fled from Shiva. Finding himself unprotected the moment his horses got tired, Ashwatthama, the Brahmin's son, for his defense resorted to the ultimate weapon, the Brahmastra. With his life in danger, he touched water and concentrated to recite the mantras, even though he did not know how to stop the process. Arjuna saw a life-threatening, fiercely glaring light spreading in all directions, whereupon he turned to the Lord who drove his chariot and said, "Krishna, O Krishna, you are the Almighty One who takes away the fears of the devotees. You alone are the path of liberation for those who suffer in their material existence. You are the transcendental, original enjoyer and direct controller of the material energy. You are the one who, from within the bliss and knowledge of yourself, by means of your internal potency, puts an end to the material illusion. From that position, you, in the heart of the conditioned souls, exercise the blessing of your influence that is characterized by the regulation of Dharma and the other civil virtues. Thus you incarnate in order to take away the burden from the earth and to satisfy your friends and pure devotees as the constant object of their meditation. O Lord of all Lords, I do not know where this highly dangerous, dazzling light spreading in all directions comes from. The Supreme Lord said, "Know that this is caused by the son of Drona who, faced with his pending death, launched the Brahmastra without knowing how to retract it. Nothing else can counter this weapon but another one. You will have to fight the immense glare of this weapon with your martial art by engaging the power of your own weapon." Sutta said, "After hearing what the Supreme Lord said, the killer of the other warrior, Arjuna, sipped water himself while circumambulating the Lord and launched his Brahmastra. The combined glare of the two colliding weapons thereupon covered heaven, earth, and the space in between with an expanding ball of fire as bright as the sun. When the inhabitants of the three worlds saw how the heat of the two weapons scorched them severely, it reminded them of the fire of annihilation at the end of time. Realizing the disturbance it all created for the common people and their worlds, Arjuna then retracted, to the wish of Vasudeva, both the weapons. Arjuna, thereupon, angered with eyes red as copper, arrested the dangerous son of Gautami, binding him skillfully with ropes like he was an animal. After he with force had bound the enemy and was about to take him to the military camp, the Supreme Lord, who saw it with his lotus eyes, said to the angered Arjuna, 'Never let this relative of the scholars go. Punish him immediately, for he has killed innocent boys in their sleep. Someone who knows the principles of religion does not kill an enemy who is careless, intoxicated, insane, asleep, of tender age, a woman, foolish, a surrendered soul, afraid, or who has lost his chariot. But someone who, shameless and cruel, thinks he can maintain himself at the cost of others' lives, deserves it to be stopped in his tracks for his own good, to prevent the person from landing in hell because of that fault. Also, I, personally, heard you make the promise to the daughter of the king of Panchala. I will bring you the head of the one you consider the murderer of your sons. He, not being more than the burnt ashes of his family, an offending sinner who is responsible for the assassination of your sons and is someone who displeased his own master, must therefore be sentenced." Sutta said, Although Arjuna, by Krishna being put to a test concerning the matter of his duty, was encouraged to do so, he did not aspire to kill the son of his teacher, despite the fact that he was the heinous murderer of his sons. After they thereupon had reached his camp, his dear friend and charioteer Govinda entrusted the assassin to his dear wife, who was lamenting over her murdered sons. Upon seeing the criminal, who, silent from his heinous act, tied up in ropes, was brought in, Drupadi, from the beauty of her nature, out of compassion, showed the son of the teacher the necessary respect one owes a Brahmin. She, in her piety, could not bear the sight of him brought in robes and said, "Release him, for he, as a Brahmin, is a teacher of us. It is by his, Drona's, mercy that you yourself have received the confidential knowledge of archery and of the release and control of all kinds of weapons. The lordship of Drona, for certain, still exists in the form of his son, because his other half, Kripi, his wife, with a son present, did not follow her husband into death by means of sati. Therefore, O most fortunate one in knowing the Dharma, by the goodness that is in you, cause no grief to this ever respectable and honorable family. Do not make his mother, Drona's devoted wife, cry the way I do, in my constantly shedding tears in distress over a lost child. If the noble administration is of no restraint in relating to the Brahminical order and enrages them, that rule will burn up in no time and land in grief together with its family members." Sutta said, "Dear Brahmins, the king of the Pandavas, Yudhishthira, supported the statements of the queen, for they were in accord with the Dharma, just and merciful, glorious without duplicity and partiality. And so did Nakula and Sahadeva, the younger brothers of the king, and also Satyaki, Arjuna, the supreme lord, the son of Devaki, including the ladies and others." Thereupon Bhima said indignantly, "It is well known that he who, without a good reason, neither for himself nor for his master, has killed sleeping children, deserves death." The four-armed one, Krishna, had heard the words spoken by Bhima and Drupadi, and looking at the face of his friend Arjuna, then said with a faint smile, "One should not kill the relative of a Brahmin, even though one kills an aggressor. As far as I am concerned, both is prescribed to be carried out when we want to follow the rules. You have to keep to the truth of the promise you made when you pacified your wife, and must also act to the satisfaction of Bhima and of me." Sutta said, "At once understanding what the Lord meant, he separated with his sword the crown jewel from the head of the Brahmin along with his hair. He, Ashwatthama, who next to the loss of his bodily luster because of the infanticide, also had lost strength by the loss of his jewel, was next released from the ropes and driven out of the camp. Cutting off the hair, confiscating the wealth, and banishment are the forms of punishment reserved for Brahmin relatives, not any other method of physical approach. The sons of Pandu, together with Drupadi, then, overtaken by grief, performed the necessary duties in respect of the deceased family members.